right, here it is.
I'm sorry.
It's finally here. Okay. Hi, my name is Stephen, and I am an alcoholic. And by the grace of God and the people in these rooms, I haven't had to take a drink in 22 years, 6 months, and 7 days. I don't say that to impress you, but I do say it to impress you that this program works. And I wanted to thank... Really? You can't hear me? Okay. Oh. All right. So, first of all, I want to thank Diane and the committee for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope with each other, with you. And I'm excited to tell you about my story. I know everybody in here's got a story, and I've got one too. And I just want to preface it with, I am a little bit nervous. And I've been told by many of my friends and people here in these rooms that I'm going to do fine. Even my kids texted me today and said, hey, you're gonna do good, Dad. I was like, wow. So let me start off with... where I grew up, how I grew up, and then we'll move on from there. I was born in Hawaii. My claim to fame, I always like to tell people, I was born in Hawaii. And was like, wow, that's cool. My dad was in the Marine Corps, and so I was also born a Marine, I guess. I mean, my dad was in the Marine, he served 20 years, and... So I was a Marine brat for a while. We moved around after I was born. We moved to South Carolina. We ended up at Camp Pendleton. And that's when my parents decided to get a divorce. So I was pretty young when that happened. And so I remember... I think that was even before I went to kindergarten, I think, because I don't remember going to school, but what happened was my mother took me up to my grandmother's house up in Los Angeles, and then from there they sent me over to my aunt's house, and I lived with my aunt and my uncle and my cousins for a while until I guess everything got straightened out between them. Anyway, So I was pretty much, they got a divorce, and I was pretty much raised with a mom. I'm a only child, and I think that my grandmother had a lot to do with raising me. My mom was working full time, and she was looking for another husband. So that was fine. What do you do? You just go with it. Didn't really realize how that was going to affect me, but, I just thought, well, okay. So I went to a Catholic school. I was born, and baptized in the Catholic faith. And so I went to Catholic school for 12 years, right? First through eighth grade. And I was taught a lot about God in school. I ended up, I didn't quite fit in because what they were trying to teach us didn't quite jive with what was going on in my house, and of course you don't realize that until you get a little bit older, but I think it was in seventh grade, they wanted to get some of the boys in the school to become altar servers, and I thought, wow, I don't really fit in with the jocks and the guys that are, I just didn't fit in quite, and so I thought, well, I'll go do that, and I got behind that quite a bit. I would stay at church on Sundays and wait for somebody. If they didn't show up, I could take their place. And, you know, I did that. And so even, so that was probably in 1967, 68, 69 was, I was in eighth grade, and that was the summer of 69. I was recruited by some Silesian, there was an all-boys Catholic high school right next door to the school that I went to up in Bellflower, California. And I kind of was, because I was an altar server, I was kind of, they were kind of looking at me like, hey, what do you think about being a priest? Right? I was like, wow, I would be a star in my family, right? Be a priest. And so they basically paired me up with a guy that was in the seminary, in the school next door, all boys Catholic high school. And he, you know, would meet with me and talk to me about, you know, being a priest and what that would be like. And, you know, I said, hey, it sounds like a good idea. You know, I'm, I see what the priests do when they serve Mass. That was back when they were saying Mass in Latin. I had to learn Latin. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew how to say the words. And anyway, so it was planned that when I went into the ninth grade at St. John Bosco High School, right next to the school that I went to, I would be going into the seminary in the ninth grade. I would also go to school, and I would be in the, I would live in the seminary and really get some schooling on how to be a priest. And so what happened was that summer, and I don't know, I'm sure there's a few of you that remember what the summer of 69 was like or right around there. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on. And I told them that I would go in the seminary, but between the time that I said that and committed to it and the time it came rolling around for me to do it, I was going to these parties with the girls. And, you know, I had my, you know, even in eighth grade, I had a girlfriend in the eighth grade. And, you know, that's when it was, what is it, tune in, turn on, and drop out, that kind of thing going on. And, you know, that at that time, drugs was really starting to, you know, being used by a lot of people, and the music and all of that stuff. And man, I tell you what, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. So that summer, they wanted me to go up and work at the camp, the summer camp. And I didn't tell them that I wasn't going to be a priest. I kind of knew, but they were saying, hey, you can come up and work at the summer camp with the boys, and you can be like a counselor. I was like, okay. So when I got up there, I told my mentor at that time, I said, hey, you know what? I think I changed my mind about being a priest. And they said, really? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, we brought you up here. And, you know, we were going to have you be a counselor and stuff. And I said, yeah, I know, but I don't think I want to do that. He said, well, that's fine. So they put me to hard labor. Seriously. They said, well, if you're not going to be a priest, then we're going to find something for you to do. And it isn't going to be counseling them little kids. So they had me do hard labor. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, they had me, you know, finding boulders and moving them in a wheelchair or a wheelbarrow and make cement, and you know, they were just having me do all this stuff. And you know, after 2 weeks, I said, hey, isn't it time for me to go home? You know, this has been fun, but you know, I want to get back to what I left. So that was about all that happened. I did go into the ninth grade there at that school, and you know, I tried to fit in. I tried for sports. I was on the swim team. I tried football. And, you know, all boys Catholic high school, they had this thing where they have an initiation and they have the seniors come and they put you through the ringer, right? And it was pretty brutal. I don't think they could get away with it today. But anyway, I went through it. And, you know, and at the same time, I was going out partying with friends that I knew that I used to go to school with. I didn't really know too many kids there. I was in the upper grade level class there at that school. And so I said, well, enough of this. I don't want to be going to an all-boys Catholic school anymore. So I had my grandmother was really paying for the whole thing. I think she paid all my tuitions. My mom really couldn't afford it. But and then I went to the co-ed Catholic school, right? And that co-ed Catholic school, they ran it like a college for high schoolers. You could go pick your classes, and then you could go if you wanted, and if you didn't, you didn't. Well, guess what I was doing? I wasn't going to the classes. You know, I found the new thing, and that was drinking and drugging and going to concerts and doing all that stuff, you know. And I'm glad that I had the education that I did today. I didn't quite realize how important that would be later on in life. But I did get a foundation of, you know, a God could be in my life. But I just didn't quite get the connection of a loving God at that time. It was more of I was afraid to do anything. You know, fear of God and what, you know, I'm going to go to hell and all that stuff. And, you know, my mom had divorced and that was against the church. And I was like, wow, this is really weird. Why? So I went my own way. And I never looked back. I never really hated God or forgot about God, but I just turned my back and started living this life of partying and drinking and drugging. And I ended up, they weren't going to let me graduate 12th grade, so I said, well, you need to catch up on your schoolwork. And I said, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't do that either. So I dropped out. Anyway, I got involved with a bunch of older guys, and they were showing me the ropes about drinking and drugs and selling drugs and all that, and that's the way I went from then on. I had all these older guys that I like to hang out with, and they showed me how to deal drugs and weigh drugs, and, you know, we're going to do that. And I thought, well, this is it. This is going to be my career. And I ended up marrying my childhood sweetheart. She lived two doors down. And, you know, that's just the way my life went. I was married for 23 years. And my wife and I, we were doing all that stuff together. I mean, doing crimes. It was pretty crazy when I look back at it. I was like, man, how did I end up doing all that? But I did, and it got to the point where I was getting arrested. I got arrested like four times, but I'd always beat it. They'd always let me go for some reason or another, and I thought, man, they're going to catch me someday, and it's going to be over for me. And I'm going to end up in prison, or I'm going to end up in debt. I was dealing with people that were ruthless, you know, Mexican cartels and all that stuff real quick. So I did what every alcoholic does. I thought, well, I'll just pick up and move somewhere, right? So I was married. I had three kids. I said, come on, we're getting out of here. We're moving to Texas. And I said, that'll be the answer to all my problems. And I had a guy in Texas that I used to party with. He said, yeah, come on out. I'll get you your driver's license back, and you can go drive truck and all this stuff. And you know the story. I moved around, but every time I moved around, I was there when I got there, you know, and it was the same ideas, the same thoughts. And I remember one time I stopped at a church, a little Catholic church in Texas, you know, and I thought, man, I'm going to go in there and I'm just going to say a couple of prayers, because I know my this path is not doing really well. So it didn't stop me from doing it. Anything that the track I was on, and I ended up Moving back to California, and gosh, I'll tell you, man, it's drugs and alcohol will take you in places that you could never think of. I mean, I look back at it today, and I was like, man, how did I do this stuff? How did I end up running from the law? How did I end up moving my family? My wife at the time and my kids, they had to move in with my father-in-law, and of course, he got pissed at me. And so that's the way my life went. And until the point where, you know, and my wife was kind of going along with the whole thing. I mean, she was right there next to me doing all this stuff. But there came a point one time when I met somebody at a party. I had a friend of mine, that we decided to go snow skiing. So I left my kids with somebody I didn't even really know. And the next day, I call my wife up there, and she says, "Well, yeah, why don't you come home? Your stuff will be out there on the front." I was like, "Oh, okay." So that's when I decided, you know, I better do something about this. So I went into an outpatient. It was covered under insurance, so I went to an outpatient place. I did get arrested, I think, 4 times before all this stuff happened, but I went to an outpatient program. My wife didn't want anything to do with recovery, so I was kind of much on my own. And I went through that, and then when I was finished with it, they said, "Well, you probably should go to AA. You know, when you get done here, you've graduated, you know, we've taught you all we know, but you need to go to AA." So I did. I got sober in a small town in San Diego County, Ramona, California. And I got some of my friends here from Ramona. We have a family. It's just like, you know what, I look at everybody out here and I go, you know, I was a only child. And I didn't have much of a family, but this is my family today, I tell you. I've been doing this for a while now, and let me think here. Where am I at? I got a little bit of time left. So, in Ramona, I started going to meetings. And, you know, I had never been to meetings before, but I saw, you know, I went to meetings, I went to a lot of them, and I listened, you know, because the way I was brought up to not say anything unless you're spoken to. So I did a lot of listening, and I was the only kid, so I pretty much did that. I observed people, I listened to people, especially in the meetings. And you know, I saw the steps on the wall, I saw the traditions, I looked at the steps, I said, man, oh, this is a God thing. Ah, this is a God thing. And I swear, there was a light that went off in my head. I said, wow, this is what they were talking about with this God thing. And I immediately had this connection. I was like, oh, they're talking about a loving God. I can pick my God. So I was pretty excited about it. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go back to church. I had kids. I said, I'm going to take them back to church. I quit drinking. My life got better. I was of service. I chaired meetings. I made coffee. I did that stuff for about a year and a half. I never got a sponsor and I never worked the steps, but I stayed sober. And my life got better until it didn't, until I thought, man, my life is pretty good. You know what? I think I could drink again. You know? I was out at the river right here. This is in fact, I forgot to tell you, I got one DUI. It was right over here. It was right, you know, where the bridge that goes to Winter Haven, you know, from... You get off the freeway and you go into Winter Haven, you just cross. There used to be a bar over there. I used to come to Yuma and I would sell advertising. And I would get drunk as hell. And then we'd go over to Red's over in California because you could drink for another hour. And I thought that was a good idea. And so I had a van, and we left Red's when they closed, and we were going to go back to my hotel. I had another guy and two women in my van, and I ran that stop sign. There's a four-way stop or a three-way stop there, and I just went right through it, and the lights came on, and they took me to jail. I don't know whatever happened to those people. They impounded my van. And so my wife had to come and get me, and she's like, wow. So anyway, that was my one DUI. Never had another one. Kind of ironic, huh? I ended up in Yuma, and this is the only place I ever got a DUI in all my time. But so let's see. Came into the rooms, I got sober a year and a half, never got a sponsor, never worked the steps, my life got better, and we came out, I brought all my kids out to the river. This was our play area. This is where we would come and bring our kids. And I thought, man, that beard sound looks pretty good. So I ended up picking up again, and I never went back to the AA in Ramona. You know, I was like, oh, man, I can't go back there. I was drinking again. Just like they said, you know, you pick up right where you left off. And boy, I was right on it. So I did that twice. This is my third attempt. My sobriety date is August 20th, 2003. And this time I got serious. This time I did what I was suggested to do in the beginning, and I did get a sponsor, and I worked the steps, and I've been sober since then. I've been through two divorces. I divorced my wife. We tried to, you know, as a good Catholic, you know, I tried to keep the marriage together. I went to counseling. But I just couldn't do it. I mean, I just couldn't stay with somebody that wanted to continue to drink and use like we were. And so I had to make a decision. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to save my life, because I was at that point, I was pretty scared about, you know, how long am I ever going to make this? So we divorced, and my kids were older then. Well, my kids were in high school. So we divorced, and I've, you know, again, working the steps with a sponsor, I cleaned up my act, and then my life got better again. I met another woman in Ramona.
Right?
Not me. No, wasn't you. But... my second wife, introduced me to my sweetheart, right? And we weren't even thinking about, I mean, everything was good with us, but I was at a meeting, and she was there, and she said, oh, do you know Don? Have you ever met Don? I'm like, no. Oh, hi. My second wife was a school bus driver in Ramona, so she knew everybody, and she knew all the mothers, and, you know, she knew everybody in town. So anyway, that's how I met her. Didn't really talk to her again for a long, long time, but that marriage, I waited 2 years, just like they said. I didn't get in any relationship, I didn't get married, but I waited 2 years. I was sober 2 years, and I got married. And she was an Al-Anon. She was an Al-Anoner, and I was an AA. So it was a perfect match, right? Right? And it was working really well for a while. We did a lot of moving around with her job. She was the big breadwinner, and so we had to move around a lot, and ended up moving up Northern California, back down. I was going to meetings. I was working with sponsors the whole time. Had to do a lot of moving around, so that, because she was the breadwinner, we had to kind of go where her career was taking her, so... I was like, okay, I'm fine with it. And then, you know, I got to a point where we were never together. And so I just said, you know, this isn't working out too well. I think we need to split. And we both came to that decision. We settled it. And that was it. And but my recovery never stopped. I never stopped working with sponsor. I never stopped going to meetings. And today, you know, I kept hearing that same story. My life has never been better as a result of doing the work. And finally, I'm retired now, and I got to tell you that that's been a big help, because now I go to a lot of meetings. I go to a meeting almost every day now, I'm of service, and I have a relationship with a loving God today that I never had before in my life. Now, I've been through. There's some things that happened along that journey of since I've been sober. Some pretty tragic things. First of all, I've been divorced twice. In 2016, I'm a commercial truck driver, and I was driving from Washington to San Diego, and I had a load of beef, and it was real early in the morning. And it was dark. It was on Highway 99 in Central Valley, somewhere by Madera. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but it was dark. It was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, still dark. And I'm driving away, and I was going to go home. I was pretty excited about going home. And somebody walked out in front of my semi. And I tried to avoid, but I wasn't able to. And I hit that man and killed him. And I didn't have to drink over it. In fact, it was pretty traumatic. I mean, I had nothing like that had ever happened. I don't wish that on anybody. It wasn't my fault. But I didn't have to drink over it. And I'll tell you, the first thing you do as a commercial driver, if you're involved in any kind of an accident, let alone a fatal accident, the first thing they do is they get you in the car and they take you down and test you. And I'll tell you, right then and there, I was real grateful that I was clean and sober, right? Because there was many times that I was driving drunk, semi-drunks. When I was married to my first wife, she went with me over the road. And we would stop at a bar and just get hammered, and I'd jump back in that truck and we'd drive it down the road with one eye. And fortunately, nothing ever happened there. But when I look back at all that stuff that I did, wow, my life could have been worse, way worse. So I've been through that. One of my children is 30, well, I have twins. They're both 36 now. And I have an older son, my first son, he's 41. And my twin, my boy twin, Jacob, he's 36. And he's a heroin addict. And he's been a heroin addict for a long, long time. And he's been in and out of prison. And that's heartbreaking, you know? When you get sober and you think, oh, I can save my son. I know I can. Look at what I've done. I can show him the way. I can get him to go to meetings. Not happening. And so, so I've been through quite a bit. You know, I know that there's way more tragic stories than that. My latest thing that I've gotten through as I was diagnosed with cancer back in 2019, and I had prostate cancer. And so I've treated that And then I had just recently had to go through 33 rounds of radiation because the cancer came back. And I've survived that. And today there's no cancer. So I'm really blessed. Really blessed. And all I do today is I put my faith in God. And that's really what this whole program for me is about having a loving relationship with a loving God. Something that I never thought of, even as a kid going through all that training in Catholic school. So I am a blessed man, and it's just like they said, you know, do what we do and get what we got. And I watch people. I listen to people. I listen, and I got to give credit to all the old timers when I came in. My sponsors, I had several sponsors I've worked with over this time, and they've helped me see, you know, and it's like an inside job. I didn't even realize when it, this last time. And I was sober for a while, and I really didn't have this spiritual experience, the burning bush experience. You know, my life was going on. And then one day I thought about it, and I said, you know, I haven't thought about taking a drink in a long damn time. It was like it left me. That compulsion, that obsession that I had, that I drank every day. We didn't do anything without drinking. We didn't go to the movies without drinking. We didn't go to the zoo with the kids without having some bottles in the... I mean, really, it was just crazy. But today, I'm living my best life. I've survived cancer so far. I mean, I got a clean bill of health. I use the steps to quit smoking. I've been free of cigarettes for 22 years, 6 months and 7 days, because I quit smoking the day I quit drinking. Right? And I haven't had one of those yet either. And I know that's a struggle for a lot of people. And I can just credit God for that. I ask God to take that obsession away from me. I knew it was killing me, just like I did the drugs and alcohol. I knew it. But I was able to make a decision. I didn't realize I could make a decision and say, hey, I can stop this cycle. Right? My dad was, I think he was alcoholic. I know that I heard that my grandfather was alcoholic. I don't know if it's in my genes. Some people say it is. My mom wasn't. My mom wasn't an alcoholic. Today, it's like I have a whole new purpose. I have a whole new purpose. And I think, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, you got to work the program. You got to work the steps. And you do. That's the way that you can clean up the wreckage of your past so you're not carrying that stuff around. All of those things that I did, I made the best amends I can to every person so far. There may be some that pop up. And when that happens, I'll have to make an amends to those people. But I've done a pretty good job at taking care of that stuff. And and I owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous and a loving God in my life today. Today I think about others. How can I be of help to others? There was a guy that came to Yuma a couple years ago, and he was a representative of the H&I, and he talked about how rewarding it was for him to go into the prison here in San Luis, and man, he sold me. I said, wow, I got to try that. You know, I was a little apprehensive, but I thought, you know what? I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm going to go check it out. So I went through the process of getting the background check and all that stuff. And Carl and Mary and I just got back here, you know, for a while, and I was able to go back and go to the prison. And I'll tell you, man, it's been the best service work I've ever done in NAA. Because when you go in there and you see that there's very few people that want to get clean and sober, it's kind of amazing to me. There's thousands of guys in there, and most of them probably got there with drugs and alcohol problems. But there are a few people that want to change that. And I'll tell you, when you walk into where we meet and have a meeting, they come in and they thank you as soon as they come in. And when the meeting's over, they thank you again. Like, wow, thank you for coming. We really appreciate you taking your time to come in here and show us the way. And that's been the most fulfilling thing I've done in AA. So if you ever, anybody out there want to do some really great service work, you know, we're always looking for people to do that. I know there's some people that probably can't do it or won't do it, but man, if you want to do some service work where you can see some real results, and people, those guys are hungry for AA, they really are. They want to hear about how, you know, when you go in with some time, they want to know how in the hell you did it. And it's been very fulfilling. So I don't know what more I can add. Again, I have a life today that I never thought would be possible. I have a great relationship. You know, in doing the steps and working this program, or living this program is what I like to say. I like to say I'm living this program. I'm living by a set of principles today, and to the best of my ability, of course. And it's not all about me anymore. It's about what I can do for somebody else. And I know that's the theme of our roundup this year. Been to a lot of roundups. I've listened to a lot of speakers. I've had a lot of friends here in AA. I have friends that I haven't even met here, and they're in here, right? I consider you my family, because we all have that common desire to stay sober. And you know, I took my last token in Ramona, where I got sober, and you know, I was able to take my token and speak a little bit. And I talked about the old timers, the ones that led me and kept me in here and showed me the way. And then somebody pointed out, said, well, I guess it's your turn now. Right? It's my turn to carry the message. So I hope that if you're new, that you stick around, even when it's a little uncomfortable. There's been plenty of times, like right now. Like right now, you know? I'm like, she asked me if I'd be a speaker, and I thought, oh, wow, that's kind of a big crowd. I don't know. And, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, man, I have a lot to say about what this program can do. And I hope I'm an example of it, just like the people that came before me. It has changed my life. And I'll be forever grateful. There's no way I could pay this back. So I still keep thinking about my kids today. Because there was a time they were pretty pissed at me. But I'm still sober, right? And that's my living amends to them. Because I know that, you know, they had two alcoholic parents that were showing them the way, and that's, you know, That's all I can do, is I can be there for them, tell them I love them, even my drug addict son. I love him, but I hate that disease. And that's what I tell him every time I see him. I've tried to get him to go to meetings, tried to get him to go to NA. In fact, lately I've been sending him, what is that book? Just for Today, the Reflections for NA. And I'll be sitting in the meeting, and I got it on my phone, and I'll look and see what the reading is for NA for that day. And if it sounds like something he might read, I send it to him. I take a picture of it and send it to him. Because I think today he's going to court, and he's looking at doing another 8 years in prison. So that's why I want to stay here. I want to be able to help somebody. And, you know, we can't help anybody that doesn't want it. I remember what it was like. And that's all I can do today is be an example of what this program can be in the rooms and out there, too. I don't know, I'm probably getting close to time here. I used to do Uber and Lyft. I was an Uber and Lyft driver in San Diego for a couple of years. I was doing that thing. And I'll tell you, it was the greatest experience I ever had because I got to meet all these people. And a lot of the people that I would pick up, they needed a ride because they lost their driver's license. Right? And if there was time and they wanted to talk about it, I was there to listen. And then I would tell them a little bit about my story. And there was an opening there that I could maybe plant a few seeds about, oh yeah, I know what that's all about. Been there, done that. And this is what I did. And I love doing that. I love meeting people. And it's really a fun thing to do. I don't really do it. I mean, there's not a lot of money in it, but if there's an opportunity. So now I have a new car, and I have my 22-year chip, and it's glued to my rearview mirror, right? I got a piece of that double-sided tape, and I put it up in my rearview mirror. And there's been people that have noticed, and they say, isn't that an AA coin? I said, yeah. Oh, wow. I said, yeah, it says 22 years on there. They're going, really? I'm like, and there's people that are looking, you know, there's people that are going through stuff, especially because they need rides, you know, they're, you know, for one reason or another. And there's a lot of people here in this town, especially that can't drive medically, they got medical problems, they can't drive. And I can be there to pick them up and help them get to where they need to go. That's what it's about, right? Not only in here, not only at the prison, but right here in my town. And I just love it. I really do, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can go drive right now. So anyway, with that, I want to thank the committee again for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. I hope there's something I said that would help somebody. And if you ever want to talk, I'm here for you. This has been quite a wild ride, you know, from being a priest. Right? To being a drug dealer and a drug addict, an alcoholic, and now my purpose. I got a different purpose today. And I'm just so grateful to AA for showing me the way, and all the old timers that took me aside, and I would talk to them, and they would say, yeah, this is what you need to do, or this is, you know, what are you doing that for? Or, you know, questioning my thoughts and my decisions. And for that, I'm forever grateful. So, thank you.